Testament to the book of Psalms, Psalm 106. Psalm 106, we're going to read this morning beginning with starting with verse number 7. Psalm 106 and verse number 7. Praise God. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. Praise God. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies, and there was not one of them left. Praise God. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot, verse 13, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. He gave them what they wanted, but he sent leanness into their soul. When God sends leanness to your soul, when God sends leanness unto your soul. Can we pray? Father, thank you for your word that speaks very directly to our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, that you are at work today. And no matter what we're experiencing, no matter what the challenges of our life is today, we know, God, that you are at work. You're working even now. Though we don't know just how, we know that you are working. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All the things that happened to the children of Israel, the Bible says that these things were written for our example or in samples. All of the events in the history of Israel were written as a pattern for us, as an example to us, for us to read it, observe it, and understand the spiritual lessons that God wants to teach his people. It says that in Corinthians, it says they're written, all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, which means to get our attention. Yes. To get our attention so that we will pay attention to what God is doing. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. Especially those who are living at the last days. Folks, we are living. Everybody knows it. Everybody. Even the unchurched. Even those who are disinterested in the Bible or spiritual things. They are very alert to the fact that we are living in the closing days of time. Amen. This is no time for us to be careless, carefree, indifferent toward the things of God. This is the day to listen to the voice of God. This is the day to pay attention to what God is saying to his people. So let's just back up a little bit and look at a few examples here that we read to you from this text, and really what the psalmist is talking about. He's talking about the fact that the children of Israel, they had a miraculous deliverance from Egypt. And all those hundreds of years that they lived under the harsh bondage of Pharaoh and of Egypt. And now finally, God is setting them free. It was a long time. God raised up a deliverer, Moses, And then God worked through the plagues. He worked to finally bring them to the place that the Egyptians would say, okay, you can go. Go, you can go. You're set free. And they left. I was thinking about this because my mind has been on this migration of Ukrainians, and how that it's like 1.5 million people that are displaced. Well, that's pretty comparable to the numbers of people as far as the children of Israel leaving Egypt and moving toward the promised land. Exodus chapter 12 says there were 600,000 men who left in that move out of Egypt. That doesn't count the wives. That doesn't count the children. So it's likely at least 1.5 million, maybe as many as 2 million people. It's really more than we can comprehend. This mighty deliverance that God gave to the children of Israel. And they left. But the first verse that I read to you this morning in the text was verse number 7. It says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They didn't. It happened to them. They experienced the deliverance. But for some reason, it just didn't really sink into them that God did this. That God delivered us. That God has brought us up out of Egypt. They understood not the wonders in Egypt, all the ways that God worked through the plagues and through raising up Moses and all the wonderful things that he did. The Bible says that they left out of Egypt with a high hand. A high hand. It means they were proud. They were celebrating. They were grateful. They went out of that place with a high hand. I mean, it was a mighty deliverance. And it's really a wonderful picture of our deliverance, held in the bondage of sin, held captive by sin, but set free by the power of the gospel. Set free. And the deliverance that has come to everyone who has put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's this wonderful example of God's deliverance, and we can see it even in our own lives. I hope it's not true that you're saved, but you don't really fully understand, or you don't give God all the credit that he is deserving of. All the glory and all the honor that he's deserving of, because he's the one that has brought you out. He's the one that saved you. If it was last year or 50 years ago, however long ago that it was, if you're saved today, it was a mighty miracle, a mighty deliverance when you were let out of sin. Praise God. Praise God for that. Our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. So this great mass of people migrating out of Egypt, heading toward the promised land, and they go a few days' journey, and they are now at the Red Sea. The Red Sea's in front of them. They are in a big valley between two mountain ranges, and behind them they see the dust of Pharaoh's army approaching. And they are trapped, and they know that it's a hopeless situation for them. So now they've left out. You know, a lot of Christians get saved and they feel like, well, everything's going to be wonderful from now on. I'm never going to have any problems, never going to have any trials. Oh, come on now. You're not going to be saved very long until you recognize this is a life of hills and valleys. This is a life of testings and trials, and we do go through things. And the wonderful thing about it is that God grows our faith in the middle of our tests. Amen. He grows our faith when we go through trying situations. Amen. Amen. And the enemy knows that, and he comes against us to try us, to attack us, to hinder us. But then God uses that trying situation to build our faith, just like our muscles have to be experience a little bit of a strain and a little bit of pain. If they're going to get any stronger, if you're going to get stronger, it requires a lot of testing, trying. And so the children of Israel are facing the very first of their trials. Nobody likes the trials, but the Bible says they are precious. The trying of your faith is precious. It is. It is. What you go through, when you go through trying times as a believer, it drives you to the Lord. It motivates you to run to the Lord. It causes you to cry out to Him with a greater intensity, to draw nearer to the Lord. Oh, God, I need you. Oh, Lord, deliver me. Oh, Lord, help me in this present trial that I am in. That's why it's precious. It's precious because you get nearer to the Lord and your faith gets stronger, and you are, as you face this trying situation. And that is the lesson that's learned in the experience of the children of Israel at the Red Sea. The wonderful miracle is that God then uses Moses and opens the Red Sea. Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to go forward. Move forward. Amen. Don't look behind you. Don't look around you. You may feel like you're trapped. You may feel like you're in a trial and there's no way out of the circumstance that you are in. But the word of faith is you've got to go forward. Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Amen. And I would just challenge you today, if you're in a deep, dark, trying situation, don't back up. Don't quit God. Don't quit the things of God. Don't back up in your relationship with the Lord or your prayer, but instead allow your trial to motivate you, to push you toward deepening of your fellowship with the Lord. It will be precious. Amen. It will be. And God will use that situation. Second Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. Brother Steve Ingram sent that to me, if he's in here this morning. He sent that to me a day or so ago. Our light affliction is working for us. Amen. It is working for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There's something that God is doing, and He does it through the trying situations of your life. And let those trials motivate you. Let them push you nearer to the Lord, to get closer to the Lord. Amen. The Red Sea opens up miraculously. I mean, the children of Israel witnessed the greatest of supernatural miracles. First of all, Egypt let them go. And now they've come to the Red Sea. And the word that the King James uses in the book of Exodus to tell it, it says that the wind came and blowed it open. And it says that the waters congealed. That's the word. Congealed, that they just stuck there. They just rose up and congealed, and they walked across on dry land. Who can imagine a miracle like that? It's beyond my. I mean, I've seen God do some things and answer some prayers, but who can experience a miracle like that? What children of Israel did, they witnessed it, and then when they got to the other side, they witnessed the hand of the Lord closing it back up and drowning every one of Pharaoh's army. And the Bible says that they never saw them ever again. I mean, they're gone. Their enemy is defeated forever. Amen. Praise God for that wonderful, wonderful victory. But notice what it says in Psalms that we read. It says, Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. Even though he didn't believe, they didn't believe, God saved them for his name's sake, for his name to be glorified, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also. It was dried up, so he led them through the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy, and the waters covered their enemies, and there was not one of them left. Praise God. Now notice this. Then they believed his words, and they sang his praises. They got to the other side, and you can read it there in the book of Exodus. Miriam got her tambourine, and they sang a song, and they had a glory hallelujah revival on the other side of the Red Sea. They shouted, and they praised God, and they thanked God for delivering them from their enemies and for getting them across through the Red Sea. And this wonderful miracle 3 days later. Now, this verse, it just says, it's just the very next verse. After they sang the praise, then it says, they soon forgot his works. How forgetful we are. How forgetful we are in the way that God has moved for us. Amen. We must not forget all that God has done for us. What a terrible, terrible sin it is to be forgetful of the things of God. The Bible says God is not unrighteous to forget. God doesn't forget. But we are unrighteous. We forget. When our trial comes, our problem comes, then it's the big thing in front of us, and we view it as this overwhelming thing, and we forget about all the wonderful ways that God has moved for us. Amen. They forgot in 3 days. 3 days later. I mean, how do you forget the Red Sea opening up? How do you forget something like that? But they forgot it. They're faced with being thirsty. They're facing another big trial. But you would think that they would be motivated by the fact, oh, this is no big deal. We don't have any water to drink. But God just opened up the Red Sea. And there's no big deal. God's going to take care of us. But no, they are like you and me. They were like you and me. We forget. We forget the goodness of the Lord. We forget the faithfulness of God. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. It just means they wouldn't listen to God. They wouldn't listen to the voice of God. They wouldn't wait for God to provide for them. They wouldn't listen to the voice of the Lord in their trying situation. So then they lusted after the things of the wilderness. They tempted God in the desert. And then the verse that we read that is our title and our text today is, it says that he gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. He gave them their request. He gave them what they wanted. I want you to know, if you just pursue the things that you want, if you pursue the flesh and the things of the flesh, if you just give in to the easy way and the easy thing, and you just follow after the easy life of the flesh, the warning here is that God will send leanness unto your soul. It's an interesting word from the Hebrew. It's a word that means to waste away, to be emaciated. If you've ever seen anyone, I'm sure you have, I've witnessed people get really bad sick and wind up in the hospital, and they once were strong and full of life and vibrant, but now they've lost weight, they're thin, their face is sunken in, their color is bad, and they're weak, and they're almost dead, and that's what the word leanness there means. But the leanness is in your soul. The leanness is in your spiritual life. You're almost spiritually dead. God sends leanness whenever you choose your own way. Amen. When you choose the way that is pleasing to you, when you choose the way that's easy for you, when you choose the way that's after the flesh instead of after the spirit, then God will send leanness to your soul. That's a pretty stirring thought, isn't it? It's a very stirring thought to me, because I believe that God is a God who moves. God is a God that answers prayer, and He will work in your life and meet your needs and move for us as a church, move for your household, your family. If you'll just call upon the name of the Lord, He'll help you. But if you're after the things of the flesh, if you're just interested in pleasing yourself and going your own way and doing your own thing, that's really what it says. It says they just did what they wanted to do. He gave them their request, what they wanted. He satisfied what they wanted. It's really important, the things that you desire, the things that you want, the things that you long for. If you long for fun and entertainment, or you long for the things of the world, and you long for the things that this life has to offer, then the Bible says that God will send leanness to your soul. I don't want to be in that condition. I don't want to be in that spiritual condition. I don't want to find myself. The opposite of that is revival. Amen. The opposite of that is a move of God in your life. The Spirit of God at work in your life, like He has been in these last services. Amen. I have been, over the years, served the Lord for a long time. I have been at times when I've been spiritually weak, spiritually depleted, spiritually in need, only to go into the presence of God and to hear the word of the Lord and to be strengthened in the presence of God. And to go into that lifeless and struggling, and to leave full of life and full of the blessing and the favor of the Lord. That's revival. This is the opposite of revival. The enemy of revival is wanting the wrong things. Longing for the wrong things. Following after fleshly pursuits. He gave them their request. He gave them their desires, but sent leanness unto their soul. I don't know where you are today. I know we've just come out of revival, but it's been, 3 days? Enough time to forget. Enough time to forget that God blessed and moved in your heart and your life around these altars. And I'm so blessed to see our young people praying and calling on the Lord. I know the Lord did some wonderful things in their life, but you know, it's 3 days later. And the children of Israel, they forgot all about it in 3 days when they faced the next trial and the next problem. They already forget, amen, about the promise of God. So I don't know what you're dealing with today, but I do know this, whatever that it is, let it motivate you to seek God with a new intensity. Whatever your worries or fears might be, let it motivate you to cry out to God. Let it motivate you to turn to the Lord in your life. Another verse, James 1 and 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers different types of temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. The word there is to be, that you might be matured. That God uses these trying situations to mature us, to strengthen us, to help us, and even to motivate us to draw nearer to the Lord. And because of that, we can count it all joy. Yeah. Amen. Because we go through trying situations, and instead of letting it beat us down and defeat us, instead we understand God is working. He's still working. Even now, He's working. Right now, He's working. And we can believe God to do some mighty things today. Has God sent leanness into your soul? Do you feel spiritually weak, spiritually struggling? Are you wasting away, emaciated in your soul? And it's all because you've just desired the wrong things. You've just pursued the wrong things. The change can come this morning, today. Amen. The change can come right here in this service today, around this altar, if you allow your struggles and your worries and your sickness or whatever it is to drive you to the Lord. Get close to the Lord. Amen. And don't forget what He's done. Don't forget the hand of the Lord in your life. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word. And I know, Lord, that You spoke this to my heart this weekend. And I know, Lord, that it's Your will to make us full of life and power and strength, to be vibrant, to be alive in the Spirit, to be living in the joy of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord. That is available for all of us. But Lord, I pray for some, they've allowed their hearts to be distracted, to go after other things. And as a result, they're wasting away in their soul. They're wasting away in their spirit. Leanness has come into their soul. Oh God, help them, we pray. Help them, we pray in Jesus' name. Praise God. Could we stand, everybody, all over this service today? Hallelujah. Wherever you are, whatever your need, let it drive you to God. Amen. Let it drive you to the presence of God. Let it drive you to the altar to cry out to God. Lord, I don't want this leanness in my soul. I don't want to be wasting away spiritually. I don't want to forget all that You've done. I want to remember and rejoice in the faithfulness of God. Oh, we thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord.